WMSO Radio.
North Shore Now.
News and Sports. North Shore Today. Brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill and the Bradford Tavern. A great place to meet and a great place to eat. Hi, everyone, and welcome to North Shore Today. I'm Bill Newell, along with Rick Moore on this Tuesday, 5th day of April, 2015. Try not to talk too much about the weather, but it's a bright, sunny day out there today. Hello, Rick.
Hold on, Rick. I don't have
to talk about the weather. Hello. Yeah, I shoveled yesterday, but didn't have to get the snowblower out. And I imagine, Bill, I was thinking when I got up this morning and looked outside and came outside with everything a sheet of ice that most, or at least some, of the outdoor activities around the high school should be postponed today. This is just ridiculous.
It is. It is. You know, it's still cold, but I think we're going to be melting some snow here in the next couple of days. And then on Thursday, it's all gone with like an inch of rain coming on Thursday. So it doesn't get any better, really, for some of these sports teams this week. But again, it's kind of a light week still this week for many of the teams. However, some of the sports have started up. I mean, if I were to look in the newspaper sports schedules today, there'll be a number of games scheduled for today. But like you said, I can't imagine that they are happening. Well, let me just tell the folks, we're going to get right to the news stories in just a moment. But what we have on our page here today, we've got a couple of videos up there. And of course, now here are my notes right in front of me. Okay. But we have a video. We have two videos up there. The bottom one is from a 1925 silent movie with non-talking. I guess they have music, but it's Buster Keaton in a chase scene. So you talk about the great chase scenes that we have today with the special effects and so on. Here's one. You take a look at those special effects they had back in 1925, Buster Keaton with a big, long chase scene in that movie. And that's probably all they had back then, so they did the chase scenes pretty well. And also Melissa McCarthy. Now, Melissa, I've seen a number of movies with Melissa McCarthy, and I think she's funny. But, you know, it's funny, I never watched the TV show that she's on now on CBS, but you know, maybe I should start watching that. But anyways, we got a video with her with Jimmy Fallon from The Tonight Show lip-syncing. So a couple of different things there, and so let's get right to the news stories here today, Rick. I'll start with one here. So we've got this I'll start with two here because they're kind of they're piggybacked on our news headline at the on our post here today. Channel 25 WFXT TV in Boston yesterday ran a story with parents of the Cobbett School in Lynn called them. It's an elementary school. It used to be an elementary and middle school. I'm not sure if it still has the middle school component or not. But parents called because their kids didn't have any heat in the building and they're wearing their coats and the teachers are complaining. And so Crystal Haynes, the reporter, and the post is up there on their website today. I saw it on the news last night, but they never got any response from the Lynn School Administration yesterday, according to the reporter, and that's the report that's still posted on their webpage today. But apparently there was no heat in the Cobbett School. Again, no confirmation of that from Lynn School officials, but on the other hand, that's the story that's out there, so we thought we'd mention that one. So there's the cold, and that's not a surprise. I think a lot of districts, Rick, you know, the buildings, they at the first chance they get to try to save money, and you can't blame them, they try to shut the heat down. And so I don't know. You had heat in Gloucester yesterday at the high?
Well, it's strange, Bill, because last week we had that 75-degree day.
Yeah.
And the heat was on in Gloucester High School, and it was brutal, and you can't open the windows. So it was absolutely a sauna. At the high school. Now today, 26 degrees out when you get to school, and there is no heat. There's no heat in the building, so it's really weird. The heat's on when it's 75, it's off when it's 26. So maybe that's endemic to school systems across the state. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's my guess is that's happened in other places. But that's the story. It's on the Channel 25 website, myfoxboston.com. Also, so that's the lack of heat or the heat and the response to the lack of heat in Lynn at one of their schools. However, up in Salem, in a front page story in today's Salem News, that movie theater that they're proposing on Highland Avenue, they had a hearing last night, and to no surprise, some of the residents in the city of Salem, especially some of the residents that live along that Highland area, were protesting and or testifying, I guess, against the project because of the traffic concerns that site they believe would bring to Highland Avenue, which at times is a very, very busy highway. However, one of the city councilors, I think Tom Fleury, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but let me just see if I can. Yeah, city councilor at large Tom Fleury said that he's excited about the opportunity brought by the theater and asked that residents not raise a red flag on the project so quickly. So two different sides to that story, and that'll be playing out. But that's been a story that's been out there for quite a while on the theater project on Highland Avenue in Salem.
Well, up in Cape Ann, Bill, a couple of things. Interesting story coming out of Salem, actually, in the Cape Ann paper. That Gloucester woman, I thought she was from someplace else. But anyway, a Gloucester woman ordered by a judge into a drug treatment program last month after suffering a near-fatal overdose says fled once again from a residential treatment program, and now she's being sought on a warrant. This thing made headlines because the judge, one of the reporters reported that the judge wasn't happy with the way he was treated by Gloucester police, even though the police didn't say anything. So anyway, this woman now is, she's on the lam, and she could face up to 2.5 years in jail. And it's one of those, black eyes for those trying to promote the Angel program, even though it really didn't have anything to do with it. So we'll keep our eye on that one.
Rick, let me just jump in on that, because on a related story, I mean, those are the things that are going to happen. I mean, there's always not, you know, when we talked to Sheriff Cousins about that, Sheriff Cousins, even with his program that he's running, you know, it's not going to be 100%. You know, those things, it's just not going to happen. And in a related story in today's Salem News, there was a heroin arrest in Danvers. Apparently, there were complaints from neighbors brought to the police department, and they arrested a Jonathan Casey from Salem, 41 years old, facing an arrest for some heroin sales in the town of Danvers.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, as you say, you know, it's not going to be 100%, but it's a worthwhile effort, I think, the Angel program is. And it's interesting the way that the article reads that, you know, the plight, this woman's plight made headlines last month. We make the headlines. I think people in the media actually create the headlines. So kind of weird there. But anyway, the continued efforts for a local group to buy land over on the back shore that was proposed for housing is in the paper once again today. Ray Lamont writes that the effort to raise $100,000 to buy a four-lot property is there. The effort, the money has been raised if the Gloucester Community Preservation Committee recommends $50,000 in Community Preservation Act money to be steered to the Save Our Shores Gloucester group buying the property. But that's contingent. The $50,000 will put the group over the top so they can buy the property. But that's contingent on the present property owner dropping a lawsuit against Gloucester. Well, this thing is just convoluted and weird. And, you know, you get to the point where who cares after a while, you know. But anyway, we'll see what happens there. Couple of other things of note. The third annual Maritime Gloucester Dinner Benefit to highlight local sustainable seafood is taking place Wednesday, April 6th. That's going to be at Latitude 4325 Rogers Street in Gloucester. The doors open at 5 p.m. Special presentation at 6 p.m. with Chef Ryder Ritchie. And let's see here. You can call Latitude 43-978-281-0223. Guests will receive recipes to prepare local seafood specialties in their own homes. And it's funny, Bill, these fish that they're going to be dealing with and making recipes and so on, it used to be considered junk fish or trash fish. And it includes dogfish, monkfish, pogies, skate. Now, pollock used to be, I guess, okay, but hake, tusk, and other stuff. Green crabs. I mean, this was all considered to be junk food, and now it's becoming sustainable food, I guess. Not that I'm going to eat it, but there you go.
Sounds like Burger King's meanest burger. You see, I don't know if that story is out there. They have a new burger out. It's called their, I think it's something like the meanest or angriest burger ever. We almost put a video up on that today, but we decided not to because it wasn't that good. And
well, look up Heather Edward on our site. She talks about green crabs a couple of weeks ago, and they're nasty, but I guess they can be considered food. And one more, Bill, a comedy night fundraiser in Gloucester will be hosted by the Gloucester High School Junior ROTC Boosters. This will be at the Tavern on the Harbor. This will feature three of Boston's top comedians, Dave Russo, Paul D'Angelo, and Christine Hurley. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. This is on Wednesday, April 6th, 6:30 p.m. Door prize, raffle, cash bar, $20 a person, $30 a couple. And you can buy tickets at the door or call Mike at 978-387-3423. That's a fundraiser for the Gloucester Junior ROTC program.
I've seen Christine Hurley. She is very, very funny. Very funny person. So, yeah, that should be great. I'm sure the other ones are fine as well. Well, those are some of our stories. Also coming up in our program today, Mary Ryan, the athletic director, town of Rockport, or Rockport High School, will be talking with you, Rick, from last night's North Shore Sports Night show, Monday nights at 7 o'clock. We're going to get to that in a moment. I have a story here that I thought I'd share with you and get your take on it. It's called The Power of Handwriting. Now, it's not what you might think, but it's in today's Wall Street Journal, and it's about the long-handed note takers. So these are academics taking notes within a classroom, saying that it's better than laptop note takers. Now, even though if I'm taking notes at a lecture, I'm in college or I'm at a high school, I'm taking notes, I can only do, if I'm handwriting them, 22 words a minute. However, if I'm typing them onto my laptop, I can do 33 words per minute, or that according to this study. So it was done out at the University of Nebraska. But what they're saying is that students who take notes by hand outperform students who type and more than type that type their notes. So in this story, let me read this very quickly, and we can talk about it. Laptops and organizer apps make pen and paper seem antique, but handwriting appears to focus classroom attention and boost learning in a way that typing notes on a keyboard does not. New studies suggest students who took handwritten notes generally outperform students who type their notes via computer. That's the research at Princeton University, the University of California, at Los Angeles, and they compared those who type their notes, people who write them out in longhand, appear to learn better, retain information longer, and more readily grasp new ideas, according to experiments by other researchers who also compare techniques for note-taking. So I know that there's all kinds of styles for taking notes, Cornell notes, all of that stuff. But it's interesting because in this day and age, Rick, I'm sure we're all tempted to try to take notes or do things on the laptop. And I think for the most part, for certain things, I think the laptop, if in fact you can type more per minute, it might work, depending on if it's meeting notes or something like that. But for learning, I remember hearing this from Ann Larson at the Landmark School. They do a great job over there. And she says there's nothing like putting pencil to paper for learning, because that is a physical skill, a mental physical skill. And this kind of reinforces what a Landmark kind of learning strategy is in today's Wall Street Journal. So it's funny how these things kind of overlap.
That's not a revelation. You know,
Right.
I was told 100 years ago that writing something down is like seeing it 11 times. I don't know where that came from, but you do engage when you're writing it down by hand. And when you're typing, especially if you learn how to do keyboard typing or typewriter typing, it is automatic. I mean, it's very easy to do without even know what you're typing. I mean, you can do that, you know, the touch type system is very easy. But I think the curious thing for me is that, I don't know, it was back in the fall, I think it was back in the fall of this year, this school year, a lot of universities and colleges are forbidding laptops now in lectures because of the lack of focus on so many kids. And I believe, I can't remember the schools involved, but they're big schools in Boston, universities and so on. And that was the reason, was people are just surfing rather than taking notes and doing what they're supposed to be. So it's not a revelation. I mean, you don't need to have a PhD, $50 million study for that. Take notes and take them right.
No, And again, you know, as you mentioned, the crux of that study would be is that actually physically, as they would advocate at the Landmark School, that physically writing again from pen or pencil onto paper is a powerful learning experience and should not be. And it depends on what you're doing those notes for. But again, like I'm saying, if I'm taking notes at a meeting, I could see the advantage of taking a laptop and doing it if I can capture more words, more phrases, more quotes, but for the actual learning, writing it down.
Except that's going to be a problem in the next couple of years. Cursive writing is no longer taught in public schools, so people have to take, or will be, they're going to find in colleges that people are all printing, and that takes forever. I proctor AP exams at Gloucester High School every year. And it's gut-wrenching. It's brutal to watch these kids try to write these essays, especially in English, because it takes them so long and their hands get cramped. And every single one of them, these are the top students in the building. Every single one of them is printing. It's bizarre.
No, I'm sure you're right. And I think in my own personal life, is there very little time that you're actually writing out sentences. I mean, I have paper and pads all around and notes and so on like that, but they're to-do lists or something like that. Very seldom nowadays do I find myself writing out a sentence, handwritten sentence. And so when you do it, it obviously becomes harder and harder with every passing year.
Yeah, well, that's true. But cursive is a hell of a lot faster than printing.
Oh, yeah. But you are right about that. And sometimes it's just when you get in the habit of printing rather than doing the cursive, then it's hard to go back and do the cursive. If you're not doing it a lot. All right, well, that's our little note on note-taking here today. Rick, should we join Mary Ryan? Should she come in about this time?
Yeah, let's do it. It was great talking with her last night. Let's do it.
All right, so up next, Mary Ryan from North Shore Sports Night, Monday nights at 7 o'clock. And we're back with more sports just ahead and some other topics, so stay with us here on North Shore Today.
Up in Rockport is the Rockport Athletic Director at Rockport High School, Mary Ryan. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing? What does this kind of weather do to athletic directors' psyches?
Oh, it kills it. You have your phone next to your ear 24/7.
Well, you know, it's very early, so I don't know. Did you guys have any opening games planned for today?
No.
Okay.
We've had some scrimmages that we're supposed to be trying to get in with the next couple of days, but we don't open up our spring schedule until next week.
Oh, okay. I saw John Parisi. I think he mentioned that, baseball coach. I think he mentioned that yesterday. Well, Mary, how long have you been at athletic director now at Rockport?
I'm going on my 11th year.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Really? Oh, my. I saw Steve Rowell walking the other day with his wife. They were out with a power walk, and I thought, damn, the time goes by. Well, let's look back on the winter sports, if we could, quickly, Mary, because, to me, whenever Rockport High School wins an event, a game, a meet, whatever it might be, I think it's important because you guys are so overmatched in terms of numbers for the most part. So how'd things go this winter?
Well, we had, in terms of record-wise, it wasn't as well as we would have liked, but I think, we had two new coaches this fall, or this winter, with a new boys basketball coach in Phil Whitley and a new ice hockey coach in Pat McIntosh. We're behind the eight ball because of our size, but when you're bringing in new coaches, there's got to be a new philosophy and new tactics and terminology that has to be, that the kids are going to have to learn. So I think our kids did a good job. I think we competed. I mean, one of our biggest ice hockey wins was, or it actually turned out to be a tie, was against Shawsheen, and they ended up doing very well in the state tournament. And then our boys basketball team, I think we competed extremely well. We just didn't, have the guns at the end of a game to put it away. And our girls team, we struggled with numbers this year, so we're only able to have a varsity team.
Mm-hmm.
But the girls lost. They had four overtime games.
Wow.
Which, I mean, how many overtime games do you see in a season? Never mind, if I combine both my boys and my girls program. Winning two of those and losing two. But we were in it right up until the beginning of February, and then we hit a rough patch where we had to really do well in our last four or five games, and it got to be a little bit much.
Yeah, well, no question. And everything is cyclical. I mean, we know that, The one thing that amazes me, I haven't talked with you in a while, but, Dave Curley's record in soccer is just amazing what he does with those kids and the great tradition that has become.
Yes, absolutely. Dave's a great, great coach. I think he does a great job with the kids. When people play Rockport and boys soccer, they know that regardless of who the team is, a big school or a small school, that our kids are absolutely going to be prepared for those games. So I think Dave is really an extremely good tactician and a teacher of the game.
One of the
utilizes our small school mentality to just put the kids in the right places.
Yeah, and as I said, it's amazing. You go up against some of these schools that, you know, it just isn't right to have that kind of mismatch in terms of numbers. But one of the luxuries a big school has, Mary, is that, for want of a better term, kids can flunk off the team and the teams can still compete. You don't have that luxury in Rockport, so the kids have to be student-athletes, don't they?
Yes, they do, and we've had some very good student-athletes at Rockport. You know, once in a while we might get one or two, but for the most part our kids are good students, and they do their work and are able to juggle, you know, their academic work with their club commitments as well. We have, you know, many kids who are in the National Honor Society, so being a small school, the kids are given the luxury of being involved in many different activities. Mm-hmm. So that's a positive thing, I think, for the kids.
You know, before we go on and look at spring, is AD a full-time job up there, or do you have to teach also?
I teach, and I coach in the fall. So.
I forgot about the coaching. How many classes do you have?
I'm a 60-40, so mm-hmm. I teach three, and 40% is supposed to be the athletic part. But
good God,
that's not a.
No, it's more like 60-60.
100% AD, 60%.
Yeah.
I'm a 160.
Exactly. Are you coaching field hockey?
Yes.
Yeah, I totally forgot that. Good grief, I'm getting old, Mary. So before we go on, you got to get some help. Now, do you have an aide in the building? Do you have an executive assistant or someone who can help you out?
No.
Nothing. Oh dear Lord. Well, I know some ADs. I know some other ADs who are in the same pickle, and it just isn't fair. But I guess it speaks to the dedication that you have. You have to love what you're doing.
Yes, I do. You know what? I'm going to coin a phrase from Steve Rowell, the 5 P's. Proper performance prevents proper planning prevents poor performance.
There you go.
You just have to make sure that we get all of our little ducks in a row. And, you know, I do have some service study kids that help me out. But, you know, there's just so many things that I have in my head that I know that I need to do. So sometimes I just like doing it myself.
Well, that makes sense. But I think, you know, I taught math for 38 years at Gloucester High School, and they've reeled me back in for 5 weeks as a favor to fill in for a math teacher who's out for a while. You know, to me, I used to listen to some teachers complain about, I don't know, some extracurricular activities. Kids might not be performing as the teacher might expect in class, but they're doing well outside. And to me, it's so important to have these extra things. And athletics, to me, is part of the curriculum. And, you know, you know how the academies, everybody has to participate in a sport. And it's too bad we can't do that in public schools.
Yes. No, I mean, to me, it's an added class for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of school, they get to run around. But it's educational athletics, definitely.
All right, what about spring now? Tell me about your coaches and what you got in coming up and maybe some numbers.
Well, we have... boys baseball, you know, that John Parisi, who's entering his 20th season year with Rockport.
And I got to interrupt, John. When I played in the semi-fast pitch baseball, a softball league here in Gloucester, John was a bat boy for a little while. I can't believe he's now been coaching for 20 years. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Mayor. Sorry.
And he's, you know, he's another one who does a great job with our kids. You know, the numbers games, trying to find enough pitchers, and mm-hmm. He just, you know, I think with coaching, it's like with teaching. You got to want to continue to learn. And John is definitely someone who is always finding new ideas, trying to tap into different resources. You know, I think they have a, you know, a fairly young team. You know, I think it's pretty much junior laden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Corey Ramson and Miles Wren and Andrew Warrenen being seniors, and I think they're going to do a good job this year. I think they're going to. You know, the last couple of years, they've missed a tournament by a game, and I can definitely see us making the tournament this year, and you never know, possibly making some headway in the Baker division in the Cal.
Excellent.
In terms of the softball, new coach, you know, Diane, John's wife, retired last year. So Mike Harrison is going to be our new coach. He was previously at Manchester Essex. You know, our numbers are about 25, 26 with the softball, but again, that also includes middle school students, which, you know, due to our size, mm-hmm. we do need to tap into those younger kids. And, you know, they've got some big shoes to fill. You know, Jess Collins was our pitcher, and he has graduated, so we have to find someone to pitch. But I think that there's still a strong enough core there for us to be successful. And in terms of the girls' tennis numbers are extremely high.
Mm-hmm.
There are about 25 girls in the girls' tennis program, and this weather is certainly not conducive to them, you know, preparing for the season. But Bill Scopani has been with us at least for 4 or 5 years, and he just has he's got a nice way with trying to teach the game of tennis, and we have many, you know, students who are novice tennis players. So I think, you know, with his patience and his guidance, I think our tennis program is, you know, in the right hands. But, you know, you look at the tennis teams in the Cape Ann League, and with a Linfield and a Manchester Essex and a Pentucket and a Newburyport, they're very, very strong programs. So, you know, we try to dig and steal as much as we can.
Yeah, I understand that. And I know that it's never fun to lose, but it is fun to get out there and participate and play to win. And I know that's what it's all about.
It is. They're still, you know, you're right. It's great to win, but I still feel that our kids are gaining a great experience. They're learning many lifelong lessons that are going to help them be successful when they go on to college and go on to the workforce later on in life.
Absolutely.
And they'll all be able to look back on their athletic experiences at Rockport and you know, a smile will come upon their face.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, something like tennis, that's a skill you play forever. I mean, you can play in the 80s and 90s.
Exactly, absolutely.
All right, Mary, Jesus, great talking with you. I got to get up there and introduce myself to you face-to-face. I'm going to be up there soon to talk to John and over talk to softball, too. So I'm looking forward to that. But in the meantime, you know, I hope you have a wonderful spring and a great spring season.
Just pray for good weather.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks.
70 degrees, I'll take it.
All right, I hope so. You know, we had it in January. You would think we could have it now.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Mary, thank you so much for talking with us. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you so much, Rick. Take care.
Take care, Mary. That's Mary Ryan, who is the Rockport High School Athletic Director, and as you can tell, another very exuberant and enthusiastic supporter of high school athletics and doing a great job. 60-40, man, that's...
Hi, folks, this is Gerard Moynihan, and today I'd like to speak to you about the North Shore Student Athlete Program. Sponsored by Moynihan Lumber in conjunction with the Salem News, the Daily Item, the Newburyport Daily News, and the Gloucester Times. The program, now in its 24th year, celebrates high school students who excel not just on the playing field, but in the classroom as well. Male and female winners are chosen each month. All student athletes must be nominated by their coaches. Nominations for the program are made via email to nsstudentathlete@gmail.com. Youngsters who are nominated must have a B average or better. Monthly winners are then eligible to be selected as Student Athletes of the Year. Yearly winners and their families are recognized at a luncheon at the Salem Country Club held in early June. Please remember, all youngsters playing a varsity sport at any high school on the North Shore, public, private, or parochial, are eligible.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
MSO Radio,
North Shore Now,
news and sports.
Marketing and advertising slots are now available on msonewsports.com. Banner advertising, radio commercials. We have numerous marketing and advertising opportunities on our website. Banner advertising, radio commercials in both news and sports programming. Catch on with us now. We have special spring and summer promotions. We are providing an exclusive product, radio and video features with North Shore Newsmakers. For more information, click on the advertise button on the top right-hand corner of our webpage.
Welcome back to North Shore Today with Rick Moore. I'm Bill Newell on this Tuesday, fifth day of April, now opening day for the Red Sox after yesterday's freeze out, if you will, out in Cleveland. They didn't have snow, but they did have a lot of cold and wind and maybe some flurries and different things like that. I guess it's always good when the Red Sox, Rick, open up on the road and then they come back, and hopefully next week will be a little bit warmer than this week has been. So
yeah, tough time of year, and you know, New England athletes, especially the outdoor athletes, are very hardy in the springtime. It's really hard to play baseball and run track and play lacrosse when your hands, you can't move them because it's so cold, but the kids do it.
Got a note here in front page Salem News Sports. The Marblehead hockey team had their awards night, I guess it was Sunday night, and line mates Braden Haley, a junior left wing, senior captain Tim Kalinowski, a right wing, shared the team's Offensive Player of the Year honors, and so did a pair of senior defensemen, Danny Jasenko and captain P.J. Roy. for the Defensive Player of the Year for the Marblehead hockey team. So two awards, four winners. That's the way to go. That's not bad.
Yeah, as I told Coach Jackson, we had a long talk last week on North Shore Sports Night. Bill, you know, we've been doing this for a long time. Some years have been much more active than others. This was a really active year for us in winter sports. But I had more fun this year covering hockey than I think I ever have. And, you know, in large part, that's due to the great success of the Marblehead team and the great help we had from all the coaches, too. They were so enthusiastic. And the kids were great. And interviewing and talking with the kids, it was just a lot of fun this year.
Gotcha. I see in the news also that Danvers High School is looking to fill a boys varsity head soccer coaching position. Beverly High School is looking for a volleyball coach for the fall of 2016. They've also, of course, posted their football position. So they've got the football coach, and so they've got a lot of coaching vacancies. Oh, and Danvers also has the basketball opening for boys basketball with John Walsh's resignation several weeks ago. So there's a lot of coaching vacancies. So notes in the paper for both Danvers and Salem. And, of course, with all the snow on the ground today, probably not a lot happening outside today other than melting and shoveling. And that's not a sport.
No.
Not an Olympic, not an Olympic sport.
Not yet. Exercise, yes. Sport, no.
All right, so that'll do it for us. Oh, one more thing, Rick. Let's I put a post up there, a note on our post, and folks can go to MSO Radio to listen to things from time to time. We're working on that piece, so do check that out. So, you know, what's up there right now, Rick? I know there's some things up there.
Well, I got a couple of shows along with some promos to let people know what we're doing. But we do have yesterday's North. Well, let me get this straight now, because this is going to sound weird with the reprogramming. As we speak on what today is a Tuesday morning, the North Shore Today program from Monday is looping with our North Shore Sports Night programming. Of course, we're going to change that and put North Shore Today in there sometime today.
Yeah, okay. And so, but anyways, if you're ever around and you want to click on that MSO Radio tab at the top left-hand part of the sports of the webpage, you can do that.
And if you go to that radio link, we do have the current playlist there. It will be posted as we change programming. We'll change the playlist so you know what's actually streaming.
All right, and later this week, Trending Now with Josh Arnold, Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock. So that'll do it. I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore. Thanks for joining us on North Shore Today.